You're listening to the Hadit.com radio show. Hadit.com is veterans helping veterans. We leave no one behind, not on a jungle trail, not on a desert trail, and not on a paper trail. If you want any information about the VA, log on to www.hadit.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the SVR, or the Hadit podcast here on this fifth day of March 2014. We're here with our co-host, Jay Basser, and Stretch, our technician, and today T-Bird's in there with us, and we're glad to have her. And our guest speaker today will be Dr. Thompson. She's with the Suicide Hotline, and she's going to be hitting on some things, their program and what all they do. And that Suicide Hotline number is 1-800-273-8255. Now, that Suicide Hotline number again is 1-800-273-8255. And, of course, our number here that you can call in and ask a question or make a comment is 347-237-4819. So feel free to call in. How you doing today, Dr. Thompson?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. I'm doing well. It's such a pleasure to be here today to talk with all of you about the Veterans Crisis Line and the Suicide Prevention Program at the VA.
Well, we're only too happy to have you. This has been one of the, I feel, a successful story for the VA at generating the Suicide Hotline number. And also, it works for the homeless vets, too. Don't you accept the calls from them?
Absolutely. We accept calls from anybody. That's anybody who's a veteran, who's a family member or a friend of a veteran who may be concerned about their loved one. And we also accept calls from anyone who is still a service member, active duty. And that 1-800-273-8255 number, when you call that, there will be a prompt that will say, if you are a veteran, a service member, or a family member or friend, press 1. So those, it's always important to remember to press 1. If you don't press 1, your call will be routed to your local crisis center in your town. So if I was in Tampa, Florida, then and I didn't press 1, then my call would get routed to the local Tampa crisis center, and they know if you're a veteran and you forgot to press 1, they know to transfer back to the crisis line. But the Veterans Crisis Line is as you said, is specifically out of the VA. We've been running since 2007. We've had over 1 million calls since then from all around the world, and it's just been an incredible experience to be a part of. Just to briefly give an introduction of myself, I am currently the Deputy Director of Suicide Prevention for the VA, but I did spend 5 years working on the crisis line as a psychologist, clinical care coordinator, so I was helping with all of the clinical work on the line. I actually worked in the line myself for the first 6 months of my time there, which was unbelievable. So I took the calls, and now I'm in a bit more of an administrative position, but the Veterans Crisis Line now has over 300 people working for it, and they're extraordinary people. We're open 24/7, 365 days a year. We also have an online chat service, which is at www.veteranscrisisline.net, N-E-T. And so if you don't feel comfortable in picking up the phone and calling but would rather chat online with someone one-on-one, that's an opportunity for you. And that's 24/7 as well. And then we also have a texting service. So you can text anyone at the Veterans Crisis Line at 838-255. Again, 838-255. And we have people texting us all the time. And one final thing before I stop talking, I wanted to just make sure people knew you don't have to be suicidal to call the crisis line. We want to talk with people before they're suicidal. Of course, if you are feeling suicidal, please, please call us. But we also want to talk with people who are just really struggling. We want to talk with people, again, before they become suicidal. If you're in any sort of crisis and whatever that means to you, we want you to reach out to us so that we can help talk you through it, give you support, potentially connect you with local resources, but we're here for everybody.
Well, that's really wonderful. I'll tell you what, there has been a great need for such operation, and for many years, I think, especially veterans in depressed state, need some help. They need it terrible bad. And Teresa, you had a testimonial you was going to give to us about the suicide hotline. And what was that?
Yeah, let me do that. Let me tell you. You know, I have PTSD and major depression, and I run Hadit.com, but you know, it's two sides of a coin. I'm still a veteran with PTSD and major depression. So, within the past 2 months, I had mixed up my medications, and I had started to feel passively suicidal, then sort of like worried that I was going to become actively suicidal. And about 7 o'clock in the morning one day, I just realized I was in a lot of trouble. So I immediately called my niece, and she said, "I'm on my way there." And I went to the veteranscrisisline.net. I dialed the 800 number. I pressed 1. I got a very, very gentle, kind, and compassionate man who helped me and really cared about me. The things he said to me, what he assessed where I was, if I was in immediate danger, so that he could help me. And then he asked me what I needed from him. And I told him that my niece was on her way and we were going to the hospital, but I was just really scared of being alone for that 15, 20-minute time period. And he said, "You don't have to be alone." And he stayed with me. And he helped me through a meditation to more ground me and get me away from the really very bad thoughts I was having. And before he even started the meditation, I just felt him. This was just kindness and compassion in his voice. I wish I could find a word to describe what a difference that makes. And before he started the meditation, he let me know, "Now, you know, as we go through this, you may feel this or you may feel that." So I wasn't just going somewhere with somebody, you know, without knowing what I was getting into. because, you know, with PTSD, trust is a big issue. And I don't know about anybody else out there, but feeling suicidal, it's not something you really want to tell people. So if you are, you know, if you can reach out to help, to hear some kind, compassionate, helpful, I mean, and they will get help to you if you need it right away, without any judgment, no judgment from your family, your spouse, your significant other, your kids, your neighbors, your buddies, and get the help you need, because if you die, it's over. It's just over. Everything is over. It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem, which sounds, you know, like we've all heard that, but it's just so true. And on the topic of when should you call, how Dr. Thompson said she wants to, they want to hear from you before that happens. I personally had a lot of trouble with that. I had to, like, actually, you know, like, get a concrete picture in my head, and I remember asking my therapist, you know, well, I'm never really sure when I should call, you know, and she's like, just call right away, and I'm like, so, you know, I don't have to be on the stepladder with the rope hanging over the rafter in the basement before I call. She's like, no, you shouldn't even be, don't even, you know. Call before you even go get the stepladder, okay, Teresa, is that clear? And I'm like, because I'm like, well, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm just crying out for attention. It's just terrible. And, you know, I've had, like, people try to physically kill me, and they were easier to fight off than that voice inside my head that tries to kill me. And I want to thank Dr. Thompson and ask her to send my thanks to all the people who work at this. This is so important. Suicide has been a huge problem. I've lost many friends to suicide, and all veterans. Mm. And now somebody cares.
Teresa, do you feel that the first time you call in, of course, I would suspect that would be the most difficult time to get through that first hurdle?
It is. It is the most difficult. But, you know, the anonymousness of it takes away a lot of the anxiety, because these people don't know you. And if you're worried that, oh, my God, they're going to send an ambulance to your house or something, I mean, maybe that's what you need. I mean, if you're that close, there's an ambulance coming to your house one way or the other. And do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've had that experience, and you can't let embarrassment or pride or anything get in the way. You have to fight it as though it was a combatant in battle. And so in battle, you have weapons. And in civilian life, we have resources. And so if we were fighting someone who was trying to take our life, we would fight with everything we had, with every weapon we had available to us. And veterans are very innovative. And so if you think of the thoughts of suicide as an enemy combatant, and places like the Veterans Crisis Line, weapons you can use against it, as maybe you've been in this battle for so long, you need help, you can call the crisis line, and maybe they can get you into the hospital. Maybe you just need a safe place to retreat and get stabilized and get back on your feet. And I just I think I got a little emotional. I'm sorry. I just feel very strongly about this.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Can I just jump in?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Thank you. Teresa, I just want to thank you so much for that story. I'm just so glad that you're doing well. And your story is just so powerful, and you're absolutely right on all accounts in terms of the level of compassion and care that the people who pick up the phone have, and that's what we want. We want people to feel cared for. Because we do. We care. We are there for all of you. And to be able to just pick up the phone and have somebody with you for 15 minutes as you're waiting for your niece to pick you up is that can just be in itself so important and so powerful. So I'm so glad that you had that experience. I want to make sure that people know that it's what Teresa is saying as far as the anonymity is so true. You never have to provide your name. You don't have to provide any information. If you get on and chat with us, we might ask you for your first name so that we can, you know, speak with you, and you don't have to give us your real first name. You don't have to give us any information, but we want you to feel comfortable to be able to reach out. And in terms of ambulances being sent, I know that sometimes the fear is if I call the crisis line or if I call someone, they're going to send the police, they're going to send an ambulance right away. And know that, as Teresa said, there may be times when that might happen only because you're not able to stay safe and you might need that immediately. But know that those times are few and far between. We want people to feel comfortable to call us. And if there are times when you are not able to stay safe and, excuse me, perhaps you aren't able to talk with us through, you know, unloading the weapon that's next to you, then that might lead us to work with you in terms of getting help immediately. But overall, for the most part, we just want to collaborate with you on the phone as far as what you need at that moment.
Absolutely. I support that statement 100%. I did not, you know, I don't want anybody to worry about that because it's rare cases. But, you know, I mean, the examples that Dr. Thompson gave are really good. And it's just sometimes if you're suicidal, chances of you being able, I mean, you know, you're pretty, mentally you're pretty busy. And they can get you to the right hospitals, and they can, you know, they can just help you with a lot of things. They can get you, or they can keep. Sometimes I can't drive by myself, so if I had to drive myself to the hospital, he would have talked to me on the phone the entire time I was driving, which is, you know, I mean, for people who've been suicidal out there, I know they understand how important that can be. Because maybe I couldn't make it if somebody wasn't talking to me.
Absolutely. That's so, so true. We've been on the phone. We've spent hours and hours on the phone with people who are driving. I remember one situation where there was a man who was driving across the state in his semi. He was working as a truck driver, and we talked him through his drive for like 8 hours because he had a surplus of insulin with him, and was going to kill himself with the insulin, and we were able to stay on the phone with them. So these are the situations when you might want to call. And also, in terms of getting you connected with local services, I want to make sure everyone's aware that at every VA around the country, there are men and women who work as suicide prevention coordinators. And those are our local links to the VAs around the country. So when someone calls the crisis line and they agree to get a connection with that local suicide prevention coordinator, the crisis line responder will gather the information from the veteran and will then pass that information along to the suicide prevention coordinator in his or her area. And then that suicide prevention coordinator calls the veteran back within 24 business hours in order to follow up, to make sure that their treatment team is aware that they might not be doing well, and to really help with a lot of different pieces of what might be going on locally with the person and provide resources. So that's become a very elegant system of referral and location, because what we know, and I think, Teresa, this speaks to so much of how you're doing, is we need people to have ready access to quality care. And so immediate access to care if you're in a crisis, if you're feeling suicidal, and one way of doing that is calling the crisis line. But then what we want is we want them to get into treatment or get them longer-term help so that they continue to do better, because what we found is that treatment works. And so the fact, Teresa, that you have your therapist who encourages you to call the crisis line when you're suicidal, is so important, because that also speaks to you are getting into a longer relationship with somebody who can really help you.
Yes, absolutely.
Doctor, do the counselors ever follow up with the veteran? I mean, you know, after the crisis is over, do they ever follow up with the veteran or anyone?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking that, because, yes, in fact, they do. If the veteran agrees, and 99% of the time the veteran says, sure, give me a call back, but we do what we call compassionate callbacks 2 weeks after, two to four weeks or so after the initial call. So if at the end of the call, the responder might say to the veteran, just want to see how you're doing in a couple weeks. Is it okay for me to call you back? And you don't have to at all if you say, no, I think I'm doing okay now and no need to call back, no problem. But we do want to provide that ability to link up with the veteran after a few weeks and ensure that they're still doing okay. And most of the time, and this is such a wonderful piece of the responder's job, because they can follow up and 9 times out of 10 the veteran is doing better, they're grateful for the support, and that 1 time out of 10 when the veteran isn't doing as well as they could be, then we can perhaps talk them through what other resources we can help them with, talk them through wherever they are then, and perhaps put them back in touch with their local VA and their local suicide prevention coordinator.
I think that's so important, because, you know, in a perfect world, everything works out well, but sometimes things get dropped through the cracks. And this, you know, if the veteran agrees, and I bet most veterans do agree, because it's just nice sometimes to know that somebody cares that you're still around.
You
know, maybe they did, you know, make an appointment, but things got mixed up or something, and it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a net.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of a net, and it's always better to work with a net.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to let you know that I've added one of your web page banners to the homepage of hadit.com, and I'll be working on adding a banner to the side of the forum page from your crisis line net. And I also posted into the SVR forum on this topic your website address and the crisis line phone number.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for doing that. And you can get you can get all of those free. So if anyone's listening and has their own website where they want to put a banner up or anything like that, there's a place that Teresa found on veteranscrisisline.net where you can just download the banner and get that logo up. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, it's very easy to do. It's just they have the code already there. You just copy and paste it for anybody out there who has their own websites. So,
Dr. Thompson, I have another question here. How many or what percentage of veterans call in that are so fed up with their claims, they feel like their treatment from the VA and the claims process and the things is such a state that they just cannot handle it anymore. Do you have any statistics on that?
You know, yeah, it's a good question, and unfortunately we don't have any statistics on that, but I do know anecdotally that that process can be very, very frustrating. And so we certainly do get calls from veterans who are just who have been waiting for a long time and are getting more and more frustrated. And you know, as even though we're not able to specifically help with those claims, that claims process, we can certainly really help and support and empathize with the struggles that you're going through as you're getting through what can be a very complicated and frustrating process.
Yes, I could. If you don't have PTSD before you start on a claim, you're going to have it after you're about 4 or 5 years down the road.
Yeah, I know it's tough. You know, the VA is really trying the best that they can to work through these. I know that sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but it certainly is a priority for Secretary Shinseki. But I hear you. I can't imagine what that's like.
Another thing, on how many veterans are we losing today? Are you able to keep track of that?
So we recently, in the last year or so, we have our suicide data report. And that brings in information from a lot of different sources around the country so that we can have the best estimate as possible as far as the number of veterans we're losing a day to suicide. And at this point, it's about 22 veterans a day is what we found, which is just really devastating.
That's staggering. Yeah.
It is. You're absolutely right. And veterans, they die by suicide at a higher rate than the general population. And so of all of those individuals in the general population who die by suicide, which is pulling about 36,000 people a year, about 20% of those are veterans. And there are a number of reasons why this might be. One of the primary reasons is that veterans use firearms more than the general population in their attempts. And as we all know, firearms are really the most lethal way to die immediately. Whereas, you know, if you took medications, there might be an opportunity, a longer period of time to try to find somebody or for the person to reach out and say, I didn't want to do this. So, We're certainly still trying to understand and learn about those veterans who are dying by suicide. One thing that we have found in our most recent information is that veterans who are in VA care, so veterans who go to the VA die by suicide less than veterans who don't go to VA care. So in overall, about 40% or so of veterans actually use the VA, and those who don't have higher rates of suicide than those who do seek care. And so the bottom line from that information is that treatment works, and we really want to get people into VA care. And, you know, as you've all been saying, the VA suicide prevention program and the crisis line has been such a needed thing for a number of years, but it seems like the work that we're doing is helping. And so if you're a veteran who is listening and isn't in VA care, it would be really important for you to enroll and to really get into the VA, because it has been found that that veterans who are in VA care do better than those who aren't.
Yeah, I can attest to that personally, and for the PTSD and MST veterans out there, there are vet centers available to you also, not just the VA hospitals, and the vet centers have counselors, and if you're combat, well, depending on the area in, or any MST vet can get seen there, but I always say go and check it out. It's an entirely different experience. It's very supportive. They are part of the VA, but you may feel more comfortable getting a psychologist or a counselor there.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Teresa. Yes, the vet centers are fantastic. And they, even though they are sort of part of the VA, they don't have the same record system, but we certainly have ongoing collaboration with the vet centers, but it is many, many times a more comfortable place for combat veterans and their families to seek help. So we love our veterans.
Yeah, I couldn't recommend it any higher. And so, I mean, and this is, you know, this is quite wonderful because, you know, I got out in December of 1990, so it was 1991, there was not a lot of information or assistance or really much of anything. You were just, you know, who you got it from was the other veterans. I mean, the other veterans, yeah, they're the ones who told me, you know, go over here to, you know, mental health and, you know, get seen because, you know, you're not going to be able to do this on your own. I don't care what you think.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Word of mouth is so important, but we are trying to also be so proactive in getting people into care, too. And I have to mention my predecessor, Dr. Jan Kemp, who really laid the foundation for all of this work. She started the crisis line. She was the first national mental health director in suicide prevention for the VA, an extraordinary woman who I know has been on your show a couple of times. And it's I don't think that any veteran could thank anyone enough as Dr. Kemp. It's been an honor to work under her and with her. I just wanted to make sure that I shared that too, because I know that you all have really an affection for her as well.
Yes, that is true. And you know, and you can tell the people who have an affection for veterans. Like my psychologist is not a veteran, but she has a true affection and respect and caring and compassion for veterans. You can just tell, and that can make the difference on programs throughout the VA.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Those of us who aren't veterans, we are in this work because we have such a compassion, and we find it to be such an honor to work with all of you. And this has become my calling. I am not a veteran, but I absolutely, absolutely love my work, and I will never leave the VA system for that reason. So, and Dr. Mwai, many of the people who work at the VA and the vet centers are not veterans, as Teresa is saying. On the crisis line, I think less than 20% of our responders are veterans, and we so appreciate those responders who are veterans. Lots of family members of veterans are on the crisis line, but we all do it because we're here for you, and we want to be part of your lives and your recovery. And I'm so glad that you brought that up.
And I have another question about families, because I was lucky enough to get a PTSD service dog a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just made a huge difference in my life. And I got it through a local organization in St. Louis called Support Dogs at no cost to me whatsoever. And it was you have to pay for the equipment, but Support Dogs, along with a women's Legion post, has raised a fund for disabled veterans, so it pays for your equipment. And during the time I was doing this, I met a Gold Star mother who had not that long ago lost her son in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And so my question to you is, now those people, they must become suicidal at some point. Who do they call?
They call us too. Yeah. So even if you're a family member of someone who of a veteran, but you're not calling about the veteran, instead you're calling about themselves, we want you to reach out to us as well. We want people who are perhaps struggling with their grief over losing their veteran to war or to suicide, or they're just struggling because their son or daughter has come home from Afghanistan and is a different person, and they're not sure how to cope with that change themselves. We want you to call us, and we can then also connect you with resources, but most importantly, support you and talk you through what you're coping with too. So absolutely, we want any family member or friend for any reason to call us.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Folks, let's take a little bit of a break here and pay some bills for about 20 seconds.
Oh, go right ahead.
All right. Go ahead, Mike. You're listening to the Hadit.com radio show. Hadit.com is veterans helping veterans. We leave no one behind, not on a jungle trail, not on a desert trail, and not on a paper trail. If you want any information about the VA, log on to www.hadit.com.
Taking good care of me, John.
Thank you for that, John. T-Bird, go ahead. He was talking there.
Oh, I think that's so important that the families are supported, because, you know, once the people come and the flags are set aside and you're left sitting in your home alone, knowing the phone's not going to ring again and the door's not going to open, then who do you go to at that point? That's not going to judge you and is, you know, going to honor and respect the sacrifice, your loss, and your anger and your grief.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, so that is absolutely, as I said, an opportunity for you to reach out to somebody through the crisis line. You know, vet centers are fantastic as far as working with family members and other resources that throughout. I know that the TAPS organization, which is at www.taps.org, is also a tragedy assistance program for family members and friends who have lost a loved one in any circumstance, a military loved one. So they are also available, and there are local chapters throughout the country. And we can help.
Oh, Chapstar, that's a great resource. I'm tweeting it now.
Good. Yes, it is. It's fantastic.
One thing that sort of concerns me, Dr. Thompson, is veterans that's acting on impulse without any thought or, you know, just boom, they just, I mean,
what's the criteria
for those, if you can find out about them, if you can reach them in time? I think you could cut your suicide rate down considerably. Trouble is, the process happens so fast, it's difficult to stop it unless someone in the family was to call the hotline and say, I'm really concerned about so-and-so.
Yeah, that issue of impulsivity is a tough one. Because, you know, when you're in the military, you are trained in so many ways to respond so quickly. And so that may continue with you as after you leave the military. And one may become more impulsive or as impulsive. And so one thing to that people who are getting treatment from the VA through PTSD groups or through maybe anger management groups is training and learning how to tamp down that impulsivity. So it really is getting into care if you find that you become impulsive and, you know, want to be violent or want to harm yourself or want to do much more high-risk things than you have done before. And that's just a sign of, you know, something is off here, and I want to make sure that I keep myself safe and my family safe and, you know, everyone safe. So I need to reach out.
Yeah, and I think that other veterans saying, look, you know, that's not right. You know, you don't have to be this way. It can change, you know, because we can reach out as much as we can reach out a lot, but it's tough to get people into care. And if they're acting out impulsively or, like, for instance, if you find yourself going to dive bars and waiting for fights to start lots of nights of the week, then probably, you know, something's not right.
Yeah.
And if your friends know and you're doing it, you know, and somebody's a veteran. I mean, it was the other veterans. I mean, like, you know, like a combat-worn veteran looks at me and says, look, you're going to have to go into treatment because you're not going to, I don't care what you think, you're not going to be able to do this yourself.
Yeah.
It's a sobering experience.
Absolutely. And so it is, it's everyone taking care of each other. So it is your brothers and sisters, you know, look from the military looking at you and saying, listen, this is something is going on here and I'm worried about you. And not confronting them in getting care, but in fact collaborating with them and saying, I care about you and let's go to the VA together, or let's figure out a way to make this better. I think you need some help, and so let's work together to find that help, because I'm worried and I care.
Exactly. I reached to a veteran and told him about the veteran center and gave him the phone number, and then followed up with text messages and told him I'd go with him the first time if he wanted me to. I said, or if you just want to, you know, drive by it and see where it is, or you just want to come for coffee, and then you want to go to the vet center, you don't want to go to the vet center, doesn't matter, because you're just having coffee with
yep.
me.
So, yep.
You know.
Perfect. Yep. And, you know, another thing that you can do with somebody is if you've talked with them about the crisis line and they say, I would never call a crisis line, or I would never chat with someone online, you can say, well, I've done it before, or I haven't done it before, but let's just call together just to test it. Let's just see what happens when we call this number. And let's quick talk with somebody and just say, yeah, we're just testing out the line, a couple of veterans, just want to make sure, you know, see how it's going. But that will then help people really see what that experience is like, so that when they need it, it's not going to be as scary as it might have been otherwise.
I think that's very true, and that's why I felt it was important to share my story. Although it is scary to share that story in a public forum, but I think it's important for people to know other people who've done it and would do it again if need be, and that it was a good experience.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you did. Thank you.
Still here.
Doc Thompson, can I ask a question for a second here?
Go ahead, John.
We know certain times of the year, you know, people have, you know, we have a lot of people that have a lot of depressive type disorders and things like that. Is there certain times of the year that your line is busier than others, say, for example, around holidays and things like that? We see an increase in the spike of calls you guys receive?
Yeah, that's such a good question, John. You know, we have found that the calls may increase a bit after the holidays, especially after Christmas and in December. During the holidays, we haven't had an increase of calls necessarily, but we certainly have some of our folks who are feeling the most distressed call us. But our numbers just continue to go up anyway, so it's tough to tell at times, and whether it's because there was a local public service announcement or someone was listening to the podcast, or, you know, it's hard to tell at times. The numbers are going up, which is in many ways heartbreaking, because it means that so many people are struggling, but at the same time, it's also very, very heartening, because it means that people are reaching out. So at this point, you know, people will call us during anniversaries of something that may have happened to them during their experience in the military, or an anniversary of the death of a loved one. So it can really kind of stagger.
Well, you know, I wonder if 22 veterans a day are succeeding, how many are thinking about it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's yep, absolutely.
Pretty stunning.
It is. You're absolutely right.
Now, you guys are affiliated, I guess, in somewhat with the VA, right?
Yes. So all of our, we are VA-funded program. We are out of the VA. All of our responders and staff members are VA employees.
Okay, that's good, because I was, you know, kind of thinking if it wasn't, we'd have to try to make sure it was.
Yeah, no, we are.
Okay, because, you know, they're responsible for the patient's health, no matter whether it be mental health or physical health.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
That's it.
Well, John, do we have anything else for Dr. Thompson?
Well, Dr. Thompson, how many calls do you get in a day?
So at this point, we get about 1,000 calls a day or so.
Wow.
So, yes, and again, it's from all over the world. We have, and I want to make sure that those who may be listening or who have family members who are still in active duty or who are service members, the Veterans Crisis Line is also called the Military Crisis Line. We double branded it. So you may see materials that says the Military Crisis Line, and we did that because we want our service members to call when they're in crisis too, and
mm-hmm.
we're setting up connections and working collaboratively with the DOD to make sure that there is longer term care for those who may be in immediate crisis. So and we have DSN numbers around the world, in Afghanistan and in Europe, as well as in Korea. So we have calls from all over the place.
Well, you know, I would think it would be, you know, in a combat situation, if somebody's feeling suicidal and they're, I mean, I don't know how you, it would be hard to, I don't know how you would distinguish that, because after all, you're walking into enemy fire, so... You know, I mean, I know that doesn't have to do with crisis line, but it just occurs to me that people who are getting shot at and who are shooting people and getting blown up and such, it must be very difficult to check in sort of emotionally where people are.
Yeah, it's a good point. And so we want to help try to talk people through that and see where they might be. We also get a lot of people from abroad who are chatting with us online, because that can be a lot easier at times, or if they're, you know, in a tent somewhere with their, and they're sharing a tent with somebody, they may feel more comfortable just sitting on their computer and reaching out that way.
It
can be very confusing.
Right. The texting thing is really, really great, because sometimes you can write what you cannot say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out loud.
Absolutely, yeah. The richness of, and, you know, people say, well, how much can people really talk about in 150 characters or less? And, you know, we have done some incredible work in getting people through crises over text, because people are able to communicate very, very well through their writing, sometimes more than through talking. So,
and as the newer generation of veterans arrive, they're very familiar with technology.
Exactly.
So they're, you know, that's the first place they're going to go, not the last place they'd look.
Exactly. And so that's why we have all these different ways that people can reach out through the text or the chat or the phone, because we want people to reach out in a way that they're most comfortable.
And do you guys, I know that they have a PTSD app out that sort of reminds you monthly and has sort of a little check-in you can do. And
right,
the phones. Do you have something like that?
Yeah, so that's the PTSD Coach app, which is fantastic.
Right,
yeah, exactly, yeah. The Veterans Crisis Line doesn't have an app, but we do have a mobile site. So if you want to just save the www.veteranscrisisline.net in your phone, or you can, of course, save the phone number in your favorite section of your phone or your contact list. But our mobile,
right.
We have a mobile site that's
Oh, that's even better.
That's even much better to look at over your smartphone. So yes, please check that out, and you can then save it onto your favorite sites or whatever.
Good. Thank you for that.
Dr. Thompson, what about your homeless veterans? How's your program going with those?
So the Veterans Pipeline is separate from the Homeless Call Center. But we have a call center for homeless veterans, too, that people can call. I am completely flaking on that phone number, and I'm so sorry. I should have that at the ready, but I'm sure that someone can look that up, and you can post that on your webpage, too. I believe it's 866-4-AID-VET, but anyway, if you're a homeless veteran or you're concerned about a homeless veteran, you can call that number. We also have a homeless chat service, which people can access through the veteranscrisisline.net website. And the homeless call center is up in upstate New York where the Veterans Crisis Line is. And so there's a lot of collaboration between those two call centers. So if you're homeless and you call the Veterans Crisis Line, we can ensure that you're in touch with the homeless call center to help with, especially if you're, perhaps losing your home in the next couple of days and you have nowhere to go, we can help you to find some resources in your area where you can go.
Oh, that's wonderful. I don't know. We're getting close to running out of time here, Dr. Thompson. I sure want to let you know we appreciate you coming on and sharing this information with us, and we're hoping we can absolutely get you back on. I know you're quite busy, but whenever you see Janet Kemp, please tell her we still love her.
I will. I will, and she sends her regards as well. She knows that I'm on today, and I'll make sure that she listens to this too. And it's such an honor and a pleasure to be on with all of you, and I would be more than happy to come back again.
Oh, that's
wonderful.
Yeah, that's great, because we even though sometimes it might seem repetitious, but we have new veterans coming online all the time. And I don't know, what's your membership up to now, Teresa? It's 11,000 or more?
No, it's over 11,000.
There's more than that can hear the broadcast.
Well, we do around 130,000 visits a month. So, but anybody can log on to blogtalkradio.com/hatitcom, no dot there, just hatitcom, and this show will be archived there as well as our previous shows, and we continue to work on getting all the old shows up onto this archive. So that's where we are. Or visit us at hatit.com or hatit.com/forums, or check out our Facebook or Google Plus or LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever else I'm doing this week.
Well, I think we're about out of time. So thanks again,
okay.
Dr. Thompson.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson.
Thank you so much for having me. It was just an absolute pleasure.
And thank you for anyone who's listening. John, thank you. Gerald, thank you.
Oh,
and Stretch,
you're welcome,
thank you.
Thank you. Okay. You've been listening to the Hadit.com Blog Talk Radio Show, sponsored by Hadit.com. All opinions expressed here are the opinions of the individuals appearing on the show, and are not the opinions of Hadit.com or Blog Talk Radio. Tune in next time for another edition of Hadit.com Blog Talk Radio and the Ask Basher Show.